We know that Christmas is all about celebrating the birth of Jesus. It's really what we're doing is we're opening the gift that God sent in our hearts, right? That's what we're doing. It's awesome. It's so good. But as I was praying about this morning, and you know when I pray about what to preach on, really I'm praying for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, because I'm praying, God, what is it that you want to say? Right? I mean, it's one thing to just listen to me speak, and hopefully that's okay. But the reality is God, what is it that you're saying to my heart? You know, sometimes we can get in the motion. I've done this where, you know, you've heard a particular person preach over and over and over again, and you just kind of get, you take it for granted or whatever. It becomes familiar, and you just don't really receive everything that God has for you. But I believe in His Word, there's times of destiny. There's times of listening to what God says, and it can be an absolute changing point for our lives. Amen? When is that? Whenever our heart's ready to receive. Come on, whenever our heart is ready to receive. Are you ready to receive this morning?
Yes.
Glory to God. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I want to read a verse. We know that we're coming into the new year, and you know, every new year we make resolutions that we forget about by about March. They're all done, right? But this time I want to come into that with another sense. I want to come into the beginning of 2021 with a different heart, if you will. I believe the Lord spoke to me that 2021 is going to be a time of restoration.
Amen.
And what I mean by that is that the things that the enemy has stolen will return. Has the enemy stolen anything from you? It would be all right for it to be returned? Come on. How about people in your lives, relationships in your life that have been stolen? It's time for those to be restored. Amen? And there's some steps that I think our hearts need to be in order to be ready to receive that. Okay? So watch this. You all know this verse, but I want you to read it again. It's verse 13. Philippians 4:13. Excuse me. That's not right. 3:13. Not 4, 3:13. Brethren, I do not count myself as to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. Come on. I want to talk to you about forgetting those things that are behind. Forgetting those things that are behind. See, because in order to go forward, you have to leave the past in the past. But hopefully, I'm going to bring this in just a little bit different way so that it can get into you. I believe that your future is in front of you and your past is behind you. I mean, that's really deep and heavy, right? But the reality is, it only is if you leave your past behind. Come on, because if you take your past into your future, then you'll be tied down to where you were instead of where God wants you to be. Right? So there has to be forgetting those things. There has to be an action that you take that you forget. You say, okay, God, I'm putting a line down here. That's gone. I can do nothing about it. But I'm going to step up in you now, and I'm going to ask you, God, to help me push myself forward. Now, that's not just for you, but that's for others in your life. Right? How many know it's easy to hold something over somebody else? Right? And I'm not saying you shouldn't have trust boundaries, but the reality is, God, that I release them to your judgment because I don't want any unforgiveness in me. And watch this. I don't want any unforgiveness toward others. I believe the blood is enough. We sang about it this morning. I believe the blood is enough to cover every sin that's ever been committed. And so, Lord, I don't want to carry on the guilt and the shame and the pain that you paid the price for into my future. Or are you forgetting those things that are behind and pressing on? I love that. Pressing on to the things where are ahead. In other words, I've got to come at this with force. It's not going to just happen for me. I've got to press into it. God wants you to press in this morning. Amen? But pressing into the future, not like, well, what's 21 going to be? Well, it's going to be what you make it. If you're not pressing, if you're remaining the same, then 2021 will be much like 2020. Oh, no, 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 no. We all want to get rid of 2020. But the reality is God's done some amazing things in 2020. I've seen the hand of God move. The fact that we're meeting and the fact that God has sustained us and actually blessed us in the midst of everything that we've been going through, God is faithful. Right? God is faithful. Somebody said, this is the new norm. No, the new norm is I'm going to forget those things that are behind so that I can press toward the things that are ahead of me. Glory to God. You're only finished if you lay down and quit. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Look at, I believe God wants us to stand up in who He's made us to be and push into the future what He wants for us. Let's go back and look at a couple of things. Go to verse 7. Chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, I've counted as loss for Christ. Paul, and he had just given the lineage of the ribbons on his chest, if you will. This is who I was. This is who I was taught by. And man, I was something in religion. But I count that all as loss now that I'm in Christ. Do you know we have to live our lives in Christ? I am so excited about the fact that God loves me and He loves me even the way I am. He loves me today, right? Even though I might have messed up yesterday. But watch this, and I think it's important. We can't use that as an excuse to stay the way that we are. Well, God loves me, so what's the sense in even trying? The reality is that God has done a powerful work in you that if you'll press into it, it will cause the effective change so that you won't be the same next year as you were this year. Right? But you have to do something about it. You have to live your life out of faith that the same God who saved you wants to make you different. How many have ever heard a testimony of somebody that's died and gone to heaven and come back? I love those. I love those. And maybe some of you have experienced those. But I guarantee you, if you did, if you experienced that for real, that you would completely be changed by it. If we're going to press into what's in the future, then we have to determine that my life is now hid in Christ. And so I'm going to pursue Him with all of my heart. How many know you can't do anything to earn salvation? Right? Can't do it. Can't do it. But, however, we can do something about applying salvation. right? If I'm going to press into what Christ has done for me, then I'm going to pursue a life that's pleasing to Him. I'm going to forget those things that are behind, but I'm going to press in to the life that is in Him. Does that make sense? Come on. Woo, glory to God. I'm going somewhere. Why? I want to prepare us to be doing 2021 on purpose. For purpose. Why? Because there's a lot of people who need Jesus all around us. There's a lot of people who think they know Jesus, but they've never had an experience with Jesus. And the way God set this up is to use you to introduce Him to them. Right? That's our purpose. That's why we're here. Glory to God. And so we're going to push into that. Verse 8 says, "Yet indeed I also count all things as loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." What a statement. This statement is blows me away. But watch this. How do we get the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord? There are many tools that we can use, but the reality is it comes by our personal relationship with Him. Right? Are we reading the Bible? Are we spending time talking to God? Are we developing a relationship with the Holy Spirit that He can speak into our lives? I've heard many people say, well, you know, I don't, and I've said it before too, I don't even know, Lord, if I'm hearing from You anymore. Well, it's not that He stopped talking. It's that I haven't put myself in a position to listen. Right? How many know He loves you? Right? Somebody said it this way. He loves me just as I am, but He loves me enough not to keep me that way. Right? But whether you stay that way or not is not all up to Him. It's up to you. So when it says the coming into the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, He had to come to the place where He put everything else aside and said, Lord, I'm taking a new look at Your Word. And Holy Spirit, I have an expectation that You're going to teach me who Jesus is, but what Jesus means to me and how that should affect my life going forward. Right? Come on. Is Jesus real? Or is He just somebody that you kind of are acquainted with, but you know, if you're really honest with yourself, you don't have much of a relationship with Him. Right? Is my relationship with the Lord the best that I ever wanted to be? No. That's why I got to press. Right? That's why I want to know Him more. Why? Because He's the answer to everything. He's already paid for everything. Whew, glory to God. But you got to forget the things that are behind and press in. It's like, I know God, but I don't know Him quite enough. I love the prayers in Ephesians because it says, you know, that you have to be strengthened in chapter 3 in your inner man. It comes from the relationship with spirit to spirit between you and God, that you may know the love of Christ. What does that mean? That you may know the price that He paid and what it bought. Come on. He gave His life for me that I could have His life in me. I have the Spirit of God living on the inside of me. I have the opportunity for God to make known to me who He is. But not just who He is, what His purpose for me is. Everyone sitting in this room, everyone watching or will watch, God has a purpose for you.
Yes.
But your purpose was designed before the foundation of the world.
Glory.
Hello?
Hallelujah.
How many know that there are things that happen in our life that mess that up? Come on. Maybe we've messed our own life up, or somebody else came into our life that messed it up. Or the enemy just meant evil for us, right? But the reality is we have to look at it from God's perspective rather than the way it was. I need to know the way it is so that I can bring the way it is into my life. Does that make sense? It's like, God, if you said I'm loved, then I'm loved. Whether I feel it or if you said I'm healed, then I'm healed. If you said you heal my broken heart, which you came to do, then my heart is healed. But watch, this is what we do. Jesus, you've forgiven me, but the enemy puts language back into you that's familiar to you, and you go, oh yeah, that's normal. In other words, Lord, you've forgiven me, but the enemy would come back and say, yeah, but you remember what happened. You remember what they said about you. You remember what they limited you to. You remember all of that, and you go, oh, yeah, that's right. No, that's who you were. But that's not who you are. You can't take who you were into the future and expect God to fulfill His promises in you that He wants to. Glory to God. Glory to God. Mm-mm. We've got to come and just come to the place where we understand that God is who He is. Who is God? Who is God? He's holy. He's holy. But He knows how you are to operate. He knows. He's got the owner's manual for you. Every one of you.
Thank you, Daddy.
And you know what? Every model's different.
Amen.
You know, I've tried to fix things, right? And you know, got some older things and say, you know, I need the owner's manual for this. But if you don't get the right year, it doesn't fit for that particular thing, right? Because this part doesn't work with that model year. It was a different part, and the two don't mix. Well, your owner's manual is different than mine. Why? Because God's got a different design for you. So He puts in that owner's manual how to maintain what you purchased or what you're building or whatever. It's like, okay, it's time for you to look at, after so many hours, like I just bought a generator not too long ago, and you run it for 5 hours as a break-in period, and then you change the oil. And then you run it for some more time, and you change the oil again. And then so many hours, you do this, and you do that. Why? So that it'll continue to operate the way it was designed to operate. That's what God's Word does for us. That's why He said, do this, don't do that. Why? Because we're to operate according to the manual. But watch this. This is so cool. The Holy Spirit will use this manual and show us individually what He wants for us.
Yes, amen.
Right? But it's so important that I forget the things that are behind so that I can press on to the things that are ahead. Look at verse 9. Verse 9. It says, and be found in Him. And be found in Him. Come on. That's my objective. You get up in the morning and say, Lord, I just want to be found in You. I just want to be found in You. I just want to be found in You. Not in me, but in You. I want to love like You want me to love. I want to act like You want me to. I want to be who You want me to be. See, God has a plan. God has a purpose for you. God wants you to walk in the very things that He's purposed for you. Come on. I want to be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is given, which is from God by faith, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. I want to know Him. This is Paul writing. It's at the end of his life. And he's, if anybody knows God, it's Paul because of what he's been through and what he's done. But he said, I want to know Him. I want to know Him. So I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord. I don't care how many experiences you've had or haven't had with the Lord. I'm telling you today, there's more that you can know. But it's not just to fill your mind with facts. It's to fill your heart with power. Come on, with power. So that I know how He would act in this situation. I know what He would think. I know what His purpose would be. Because when you can absolutely identify the genuine, then the counterfeit won't be able to come in. You've heard this told many times, but and I don't know if it's true or not, but I've heard it. I hope it's true because I'm saying it again. But when they teach people, bank tellers, how to spot counterfeits, they don't put the counterfeits before them and say, look at this and look at this and look at this. They show them the real thing and put that over and over and over again into their hearts and into their minds. Why? So when the counterfeit comes, that's not right. There's something not right about that, and they can investigate it further, right? And so that's what we need to do. Lord, I want to know You. I want to know You. I thank God for preachers. I thank God for people that are explaining who You are and what You do. But I want to have a relationship with You. And the more you do that, the more you come to understand who He is. And the more you can walk in Him. I want to know Him. Verse 11. That if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Such a powerful statement. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected or brought to the full place of maturity or my potential, but I press on. And look at this, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Do you know Jesus paid a pretty high price for you? But in that payment, there were a lot of things brought to bear. So what am I saying? I'm saying, look at, He paid the price for you to be free from your sin. He paid the price for you to have peace with Him. He paid the price, come on, so that shame no longer has to have a hold of you. In Romans, it says that sin shall no more have dominion over you. He's paid that price. But Paul's saying here, I want to lay hold of that which He laid hold of for me. In other words, I don't want anything that He paid the price for to go to waste. Come on. How would it be if you had your children and you said, look at man, I just feel like God wants me to do this. I'm buying you a brand new car. Here you go. And months go by, you go to see them and you say, well, how's the car? Well, it's still in the garage. We haven't really used it. Well, why? Well, we just didn't want to get it dirty. Yeah, but I paid the price for that so that you could get to school, so that you could get to work, so that you could do the things that are necessary for you to do in order to maintain. I wanted you to be blessed by what I gave you. And yet, you kept it in the garage. Jesus has given us so much. But we keep it in the garage. Why do we keep it in the garage? Because our past says that we're not worthy of that nice of a car. Hello? Or something says, you know, that might be for somebody else, but that's not for me. No, Jesus paid the price for you to be the best that you can be. Come on, anybody, anybody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ has laid hold for me. Brethren, I do not count myself as to apprehend, but one thing I do, forgetting those things are behind. You see, you can't reach forward if you're looking back. So you've got to forget the past. What does that look like? I'll tell you, for some of us, the past is screaming at us that we'll only be this good and no more. I can't help myself. I this is who I am. This is where I've been. This is where my daddy was, my granddaddy, and every. This is who I am, and so therefore I'm confined. This is just my lot in life. But I'm telling you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. But you've got to forget what was said about you and begin to press into what Jesus has apprehended for you. If He said, I'm delivered, then I'm delivered. If He said, I'm free, and the Bible says, He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So an enemy to me is anything that would hold me in bondage. And I'm going to press for the freedom in the price that He's given to me. Glory to God. God wants what's best for us and not to harm us. This is so good. We become the voice we listen to the loudest. Let me say that again. We become the voice that we listen to the loudest. So if we're listening to the voice of our past, that's who we become. But if we'll listen to the voice of the Spirit of God inside of us saying, no, that's no longer who you are. This is who I've made you to be. Then that's who we'll become. So if we're going to forget the past and press into the future, maybe we need to start listening to different voices. Well, powerful song that Lauren Daigle said, right? I'm not who they say I am. I am who you say that I am. I am who you say I am. Well, who does He say you are? Well, I heard this preacher say, and I heard that preacher say, and I heard this, and I heard... Listen, get into the Bible for yourself and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Show me. Teach me. Reveal yourself to me, and He will. I love this. Who are we? Are we our past? Or are we His past? Let me say that again. Who are we? Are we our past? Or are we His past? You see, because He's already been to the cross. He's already paid the price for our sins. He's already suffered the condemnation for our sins so that we no longer have to bear it. He's already received the shame on Himself so that we don't have to be ashamed of who He's made us to be. Are we living by our past, or are we enforcing His past in our lives? Come on, come on. Everybody in this room has made mistakes. Everyone in this room has fallen down. But I want you to get back up and say, wait a minute, I need to start listening to a different voice because I want to go into next year with something else on my mind and on my heart because God's got something greater for me than what I've had. So whose voice are you listening to? Come on. I'm not who I was in my past. But I want to be conformed to His past so that I can be who He's made me to be. That's so good. That's so good. Hallelujah. Again, He loves us, but He wants us to operate our lives in that way. We need to live our lives out of what happened to us in Christ. What happened to us in Christ? If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And you begin to read the in Him scriptures, you go, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on. He said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. He said nothing is impossible to those who believe. We need to listen to who He said that we are rather than listening to what our past is saying that we are. But I failed. I fell down. They've diagnosed me with this. They've diagnosed me with that. They said, listen, I'm not saying that they're not accurate in the truth that they know, but there's a truth outside of what they know, right? That says, no, by His stripes I am healed, right? Outside of Him, that says, no, it's impossible for you to make this up. But He said, I'd supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Come on. They said, it's impossible for you to do this, but He said all things are possible. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The voice in your head will say, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. You got to get the voice in your head that says, I can through Him. I can through Him. And I'm not talking about just pie in the sky stuff. I can't get rid of this anger. That's a lie from your past that if you don't shut that voice down, it will carry into your future. But He said He set you free from the anger. He said He set you free from whatever it is that's bugging you. He set you free from it so you don't have to carry it into your past. But you have to get the attitude, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm stronger on the inside than I am on the outside. Come on, I'm going to start living from the inside out rather than from the outside in. Because He's made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Abraham had to leave Abram behind in order to become the father of many nations. Come on. You know, sometimes you got to leave who you were behind to know who you're going to be. Moses had to leave behind Egypt in order to fulfill his destiny. Now let me talk about that for just a minute, because there were some things, if he would have held on to from the natural perspective, he could have had a great life. What I mean, he was the son of the Pharaoh. I mean, he was right in line with a daughter. I mean, he could have been set up for life to be big honcho in Egypt. But his destiny in God was to lead God's people out, so he had to forget who he was in Egypt. And in fact, it took him a while tending sheep in the desert in order for him to get to the place where God could use him to be the deliverer. Let's make this year a year of deliverance for us, because he has an opportunity for us to lead others out of their Egypt into what God has for them. Glory to God. I'm pursuing God. I'm pursuing God for more than. I don't want to settle for what I have. I want to press into what He has for me. But not just for me. I'm sick and tired of people being absolutely destroyed because God isn't seeming to get through to them. But I think part of the problem is they're living out of their past instead of His past. You've got to quit naming yourself by only your earthly name and stick in there the name that God has given to you. I can't get into it right now, but there's so much in the name Abraham, it actually took on, because of the covenant relationship with God, it actually took on part of God's name in his name. Big deal. Huge deal. I became in Christ. That means that I not only have access to His name, but I'm in His name. His name is in me. I'm no longer of my father, the devil, but I'm now a child of the King. So I got to quit listening to the lies of the old man and start living out of the new man. Oh, glory to God. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. It's on page 1688, Mary. Hallelujah. Joshua had to leave Moses behind in order to lead the people into the promised land. What does that mean? Well, it was so good under Moses, man. I mean, it was so good. God, He parted the sea. We had manna come down. We had all. Oh, it was so good in Moses. And yet the church, we can go way back in 1978, man. It was such a, we had a move of God. I mean, it was just great. Or you know, in the 90s and 2000, man, we had this revival happen. We had this happen in church. It was awesome. Leave it behind. Leave it behind. Why? Because God is not doing what He did. He's doing something new in you.
Amen.
I'm not looking past at the revival, although I thank God for it. I want to look forward to the next one.
Yes. Glory.
Right? God is going to do something. Look at where we're living. The enemy is trying to suppress us to the place where we don't even meet together anymore. Can I just bypass one thing and hold your place there? But go to Hebrews chapter 10. This is extra. I'm not going to charge you any extra for it. You all know this verse. You've been quoted this verse. But look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. It says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. How many know that we're living in the last day? How many know the enemy doesn't want you encouraged but wants you discouraged? And one of the ways he can facilitate that is to keep us apart. Well, ha, 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 devil. It's not happening. That's not happening. I refuse to let that happen. Glory to God. So you coming this morning or you know, and I know some because of, for health reasons, whatever, aren't coming into the building, but you're coming to church by the internet. I'll be glad when that part is over because I miss seeing your face. And not only is it coming to receive something, God wants every one of us to come to give something. What do I mean? A word. Come on. Just a prayer for somebody else. Encouragement to somebody else. Right? Sometimes it's just, man, I'm glad to see you. Really? Or I've missed you. Really? I didn't think anybody cared. Right? But what about us all starting to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit because we're spending time with the Holy Spirit and He begins to speak to us about one another. Is that possible? Isn't it time for true intercession to come back? You know, the type of intercession where you're praying and you actually get into the place of almost groaning and then God shows you somebody else and there's a picture in your heart that you say, hey, I was praying for you the other day and this is what the Lord impressed upon my heart. And they go, how did you know? How did you know? Well, the Holy Spirit knows. Now watch this. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this from behind the pulpit. In fact, I mean, there was this one guy that was really mad. But his wife on the way home said, did you call him? Did you talk to him? I'm sure you did because he was preaching right at me today and it was all of... honest, honey. But what the Holy Spirit in my spirit knows what you need. Right? And so therefore he's going to give a word not to put you down, but to lift you out of that so that you're no longer suffering from it. Right? So if he can do that for me, can't he do that for everybody? Yes. Will he? Yes. But we have to start pressing into it. We got to leave what's behind. And that's why the enemy doesn't want us to come together, because he doesn't want us to encourage one another. Again, I don't want to go back to Colossians chapter 3, but while you're going there, here's what the oppressive people want to do. I've noticed this. I'm not a professional counselor, but I've noticed things over the years that a real abuser will isolate their victims. They'll want to control their victims by isolation. A real severe ones will be, no, you can't drive the car. No, you can't talk to your parents anymore. No, you can't go over there. You can't, and isolate them. Why? So that they control everything. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to isolate all of us so that he can control us. We're not going to let him. Amen? We're not going to let him, because fear is not in us. Look at verse 1. It says, if then you were raised with Christ. How many are raised with Christ in the room? Anybody? How did that happen? You got saved. You got born again. The Bible says, watch this. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins and God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Why is it so important that he believed that he was raised from the dead? Because as he's risen, so are we risen. Because we're in him. So I'm not living out of who I am, but living out of who I am in him.
Amen.
Come on. Am I risen? I'm risen. I'm risen with him. I'm not waiting for eternal life. I have it right now. I'm not waiting to get to heaven to get to know him. I'm getting to know him now. Right? Glory to God. Glory to God. It's available to me now. But watch what he goes on to say. Set your mind. Verse 2, set your mind. Many other verses will say, set your affections on the things above, not on the things of earth. In other words, on purpose, you got to seek him. And you've got to be passionate about it. And here's even where I'm at. There's some things that I'm seeking God about that I'm not really fully satisfied yet, that I've gotten everything that God wants for me. And it's like, God, I need this. I'm pursuing this. And you said, if I seek you, I'll find you. You said, if I knock, that you'll answer. And so, God, I'm going to keep on knocking. I'm going to keep on knocking. I know it's not you keeping it away from me, Lord. There's something in me that's not ready to receive it, so I want to leave that behind so that I can press into what you have for me. Come on. Come on. It's available. But I have to set my mind on it. I have to set my affections on it. Look at this verse 3. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You don't know it, but when you got saved, you died.
Amen.
That old man died, the sin died, and your passion for sin died, but we can resurrect it. How do we resurrect it? We listen to the old voice rather than pushing into the new voice. Right? You're going to become who you're listening to. So we're going to listen to the new. Is anybody getting anything today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is our life. Come on. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Some of you will remember, some not, but it so touched my heart. when we first started the church, and actually before this church was formed, we were going to another church, and Tex and Bessie were in there. How many remember Miss Bessie? Woo! Bless my heart. She was so wonderful. But her husband, Tex, was there, and whenever we started worshiping, he'd just start bawling. And I got to be honest with you, Tex was a little strange. Just a little strange, right? But he'd just sit there, and he'd be there, and tears were just coming down his face, and he'd just go, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Almost all the way through worship. Because he was in touch with Jesus. I'm thinking someday, man, Lord, I want to get to the place where worship touches me so much, all I can do is cry out to you, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Why? Because that's my life. That's who he is. That's what I live for. Right? I'm not living for the things that I have. I'm not living for what could... I'm living for him. I'm forgetting those things that are behind. I'm pressing in. Glory to God. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth. And we're going to go through a list here. Put to death. What does that mean? Forget them. Quit feeding them. Quit listening to them. Put to death. Bury that sucker. That's no longer who I am. I'm no longer oppressed. I'm no longer depressed. I'm no longer, come on. I've been freed from that, and I'm putting that part to death in Jesus' name. Put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. I'll just tell you this. You have to guard yourself against these things. And without getting religious on you, because that's not what I'm talking about, but yet I know for myself, I can't put myself in a position to be listening to the voices that speak of these without them affecting who I am. I'll just leave that there and let you think about that for a minute. And just come to the place, if I'm going to leave the past behind, I've got to guard myself against the voices that bring the past back to me. Right? Now I'll just say it this way, and I love my family. My family is great. I have a great family. But my family remember me as I was, not who I am. What do I mean by that? Well, we remember when Bruce did this. Or we remember when Bruce did that. And I own that. That's me, right? But that Bruce died. I'm no longer that Bruce. I'm now born again, child of God, filled with the Spirit of God, called to be a pastor, called to... That's no longer who I am. That's who I was. And I can't listen to who they say I was if I'm going to press into who I am. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And it doesn't mean that I don't love them and don't validate the truth in what they're saying, because what they're saying is true. But I can't live in that. I can't let that be clouding who God says that I am. Therefore, put to death in your members fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of those things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, which in you yourselves walked when you lived in them. I'll just tell you, how many know God loves everybody?
Yes.
But there's a wrath coming for sin.
That's right. Yeah.
Thank you for your enthusiasm, right? But verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. You're to put them off. What does that mean? If you're going to leave the past in the past, you've got to stop it. But I can't help it. Shut up. Find out how powerful the blood of Jesus is and start talking about that rather than you can't. Because you have to silence the voice of the past in order for the voice of Jesus to propel you into your future. So you have to speak to anger. You have to speak to lust. You have to speak to those things and say, no, that's not who I am. And flesh, you're going to get in line. But what we do is we pat a cake, put up with, make excuses for the things that the enemy is holding us in bondage to. Now watch. I'm going to forget those things that are behind me and I'm going to press. The way to get over depression is to press. In other words, God, with all my heart, with everything, Lord, I'm going to be out here on a limb. If you don't come through, I'm going to look like a fool. But I'd rather be pressing for you looking foolish than accepting. Now, I've got to wrap up, but watch this. How many know that all the things that we're describing here is not because God's going, I don't want you to have any fun. All of these things that He's describing are the things that will either kill you or cause others around you to be miserable. I'm tired of the enemy using these things to keep the people that I love in bondage. But it's up to us to go, okay, God, I'm in Christ Jesus, so I'm going to put these things to death. I refuse to walk in Him. Verse 9 says, do not lie to one another since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Watch this. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. I want to know Jesus so that I can know who I am. Why? Because who I am is a perfect reflection of who He is because I'm in Him.
Amen.
Come on. What do I look like? Jesus. Who am I going to act like? Jesus. Who do I want others to see in me? Jesus. So I'm going to take His word and I'm going to say, listen, I'm no longer going to put up with my past dictating my future. But I'm going to look at His past, apply that to my heart, and let that press me in to my future. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now watch this. This is so good. This is so good. Verse 12 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Now, how many? He's talking to people that are in a church, much as our church is. So, how many know that all those people weren't perfect? Husbands might have gotten angry with their wives the day before. Kids might have been messing up the day before. But he says, therefore, as elect of God, you got to see yourself as elect of God. And as elect of God, you'll put these things on. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. How does it look when I look like Jesus? I'm kind. I have mercy. I have the fruit of the Spirit operating in me and through me. How do I get that? I talk to Jesus. I walk with Jesus. I quit listening to the voices of my past. And press in to my future.
Yes.
Verse 13 says, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must do also. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you are called into one body, and be thankful.
Amen.
I read a scripture that it kind of blew me away, and it's found in John chapter 13, but he's talking to his disciples. He said, a new commandment I give unto you. And they talk about love the Lord your God with all your heart and love one another. And I read that one time, and I'd read it many times, but I read it and I went, wait a minute. A new commandment. I mean, I can quote that out of Deuteronomy. I can quote that out of many places. And even you, Jesus, before had talked to the Pharisees who asked you, what's the greatest commandment? You quoted that. How could that be a new commandment? How is that new? Because he went on to say in that verse, to love one another even as I have loved you. The newness was, here's now the new standard. Just as I've shown, just as I've done. How is that possible? Because the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. In other words, I can forgive as Christ forgave because the forgiver lives on the inside of me. And I have to put him on. And the more I put him on, the more this can be operational in my life. Forgetting those things that are behind and pressing on into the things of the future. So in the next couple of days, with your with the Lord or by yourself, and or even this morning, just get alone with Him and say, Lord, point out to me the things of the past that I need to lay aside because I want to press in. I want 2021 to be a year that I say, I know the Lord better now than I did before. Anybody in for that? Anybody up for that? Come on. Come on. But you have to be serious about the forgetting, for letting go, for mortifying, for killing those things that are keeping you in bondage. And say, no more, devil. No more. I refuse that, devil. Whatever it takes, I'm going to seek God until that becomes a reality in my life. Let's pray. Woo! Glory to God. Father, I thank you for the work of the cross. I thank you, Lord, that the bloodline has been drawn. I thank you, Lord, that the enemy no longer has control over me. I thank you, Lord, that I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I thank you that there's nothing that I can do. I thank you, Lord, that you've given me the power over sin and death. Sin shall no longer have dominion over me because the blood of Jesus is flowing in my veins. I thank you, Lord, right now for raising up your children again, getting your word back in their mouth, getting your hope back in their hearts, getting your love for one another that costs us everything but gains us everything at the same time. God, I ask for that to be so in our lives and in our midst. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everything that I've spoken about this morning comes out of your relationship with God. And the only way you can have one is if Jesus is Lord of your life. So if you're in this room or you're listening to me, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, the first step is just to say with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. He is the Messiah. He is the one who took my sins. And that God raised Him from the dead. And the Bible says with your mouth and your heart, you'll be saved and made righteous. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. In Jesus' name. Thanks for being here. Amen. Amen. Amen.